listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Game 7 tonight of the Cup Final. Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7 himself, will join us a little bit later in the hour. And we'll get him to take us through what it's like to gear up for Game 7.
And the injury, too.
Right.
He's had his Achilles blown out. See what the deal was, what the doctors told him.
Well, how quickly could he get out? Like, Kevin Durant
was way ahead of schedule.
But even just, you know, we were talking about this off the top of the show. Kevin Durant had surgery in New York today.
Right.
If it goes 7 in Golden State, the team he is still with until, you know, July 1st or whatever, and he moves on if he decides to do that, could he, will he fly up to Toronto and celebrate with his team if they have a chance to win?
Or I think he could.
I think he'd just fly back to Golden State.
I think he could. Private plane him up and kid gloves, make sure. Like, obviously, you have to be aware of swelling and stitches and everything, but
that's the bizarre element to me, why you didn't go home and get, like.
But the specialist
clearly may be had
in
this
New York,
done on his own, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they may have set it up. The specialist may have been right there. Like, like a lot of times, your top players, the best players in the world, the specialists are in different cities. So there may be the best specialist who does that surgery in New York City, okay, on a private bird down there. Like, to me, Golden State just doesn't go, okay, thanks, you tried. Like,
no,
like,
I think they would have hooked him up clearly with surgery. Like, he needed it. But I don't think, like, you see this a lot in sports. With the amount of money that these guys have, they can go their own way.
Yeah.
They can say, you know what? I understand you have your own surgeon, because every team has a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have a local hospital that they work with. Now, they will also send you to a specialist.
That's what I mean. Like,
literally.
That's what I'm saying.
And
like,
that might have been the case here.
Sidney Crosby gets a concussion. My understanding, one of the world-renowned concussion specialists is actually out of Pittsburgh, because I have a friend who's gone to see him.
Right.
But somebody in Minnesota gets a concussion for the Wild, like, they may fly in to see him there. So it wouldn't surprise me if one of the top surgeons or...
Well, and if you're Durant, you're going to the best surgeon you can
get. And here's the thing, too. Do you want him on a bird 5 hours, or you can have a private bird 50 minutes down the road?
Right.
Like, there's probably a lot of
different
things.
I don't think Golden State was literally like, sorry, man, you're out.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Durant
said, I'm doing it there.
I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for coming out, but...
Right.
I don't care what you suggest. I'm deciding to do this, and I will announce what happened.
Right, right.
And because it was just strange where Steve Kerr's like, I don't have an update for you. Meanwhile, the surgery had already happened.
I think he got caught lying. I think he got caught like, we don't know what's going on. And then Durant tweets it out, and he's like,
all of a sudden, it's all over Instagram.
Yeah, like, I think he got bad advice from the PR guy.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. All right, I believe we have Rich Eisen on the line. Okay, so Rich Eisen, we all know him, long time with ESPN. Yeah. He's been with the NFL Network forever.
Very famous.
He's got the Rich Eisen podcast, the Rich Eisen radio show that's simulcast on TV down in the States. I've interviewed him before. I don't think he's been on our show before. You sent him a tweet like an hour ago. He responded. He said he's willing to come on. We appreciate that. Let's bring him in here. Here is Rich Eisen. How you doing, Rich?
Am I the enemy of the state? Is that kind of being described?
Kind of. Right.
Potentially. Potentially. Now, we're not going to attack. That's not how we roll on this show. You don't have to worry about that. But I do want to play the clip.
I don't attack either. I don't, you know, so
yeah.
I come in peace.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. Why don't we play the clip, and then we'll get you to explain it. We'll get into it. This was Rich Eisen on his own show earlier today.
In terms of someone from Canada going on national television and waving their finger, sort of like tisking an American reaction in sports after we saw what fans did when Durant went down in Toronto, I would just basically hold on to that stone before throwing it at a glass house, or make sure that somebody else has not got a stone in your glass house.
So I guess the question, Rich, is how do 1,500 fans or 2,000 fans at a Raptors game that are being idiots for 12 seconds, how does that affect a Canadian broadcaster who's just trying to do her job?
I'll be honest, it doesn't. And it was an emotional reaction I had today. because of how much I hold many of the members of the women's soccer team in high regard, and to call them classless for what I think is a celebration that you should, as a competitor, you should prevent from happening. That's my philosophy. As an AYSO coach, I would tell my kids to tone it down a little bit. But it's not the World Cup, and no one's on snack duty at the end of the game, and there are no participation trophies. So, you know, speaking on live radio and TV, just hearing the comments about the way somebody should act, a decorum lecture coming from north of the border when something like that had just happened, was an unfair painting of the entire brush, I would agree, but it's still something that I felt, and I just set it into a microphone, and I am here for all the slings and arrows.
So are you retracting that statement? Is that what we're hearing here?
No, I mean retracting. I mean, look, all I'm saying is that, you know, obviously the reaction that the U.S. women's national team had in saying what they, in doing what they did, could be viewed as over the line, but to call them classless, I still would make sure my 5-year-old daughter got to meet every last one of them as a role model.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I mean, yeah. I have no problem with anybody disagreeing with the take of Kale and Kyle, who is doing the analysis work here on TSN. Again, my gripe with this was connecting it to the reaction to Kevin Durant, because I think they're obviously totally separate. And, you know, she's a broadcaster. She's got a job to do. She played, and she didn't like it. I also get the impression, Rich, and this is probably equally as unfair for you to represent the whole country down in the States, but my impression has been, based on what I've seen on radio and TV today, it's as if Americans, you know, they feel like they're under attack, which I guess I can understand because of, you know, the country and who you guys are, and the whole world is always kind of revolving around you in a way and talking about you guys. But is that kind of where your stance is coming from, that you feel like, you know, the Americans
like
are under attack here?
Not at all. And let me just say this, too. I mean, I don't know if you listened to my show or watched it the day after the injury happened with Durant. I said it was just a momentary lapse of reason, and for any fan base in America that thinks that there wouldn't be a portion of their fan base that would have a similar reaction, they're kidding themselves. I thought Curry's response in particular was perfectly nuanced. I played that on my show and said his reaction, if your listeners don't already know, I'm sure you discussed it. Him talking about having lived in the city since his father finished his career there, and how that was never the type of indication he got from people, and that he appreciated the way that the Raptors players reacted, and that he, and the way that the fans reacted once, I guess, the momentary lapse of madness had subsided, and that he hopes that sort of ugliness doesn't return. I thought that was a perfectly normal, nuanced reaction to all of it. And you know, what I said today may be, you know, if you know, may have been out of bounds. I was just kind of got caught up emotionally. Like, who is anybody, you know, and not that she's doing her job. Of course she's doing her job. I never played this at a very high level. She has a better understanding of what it would be viewed at by somebody who's played it at such a high level. But I'm also viewing it from the level of these women have worked their asses off. And if they are overly celebrating and people think it's too much, I guess as I think either Alex Morgan or Rapinoe said today, you know, if you're guilty of the crime of overzealous joy, then she's guilty as charged. So I apologize. Look, I'm part of the reason why I'm calling. I've never been on this show. I saw some of the reaction on Twitter, and I'm somebody that just never wants to be viewed as somebody that is an ugly American or anti-Canadian. I mean, life is too damn short. And there's too much shared, I guess we're kind of brothers and sisters in arms in so many different ways. And I just wanted to call in and say I am sorry if anybody, you know, thought that I was being rude in any way, shape, or form. That is not my intention at all. I just kind of like had a flash of anger in my head, and I should probably know better than to say something like that into a microphone.
With Rich Eisen. No, I don't think anyone,
no,
you know, no one is taking it overly personal.
We even talked about it on the show. The pendulum swings so much with the fake outrage and people getting so worked up about it. I mean, Rich, before you came on in our 4 o'clock hour, we were talking about, you know, the girls, or so the women's reaction. I mean, it was the ninth goal. So you know, we've all played sports. We've played hockey. You know, at some point, you may use a little bit of common sense and be like, hey, we'll dial it down a bit. But at that stage, you're excited to score goals and you're excited to win. Nobody would ever suggest you dial back. You're trying to win 13-0. You're trying to win 15-0. I think where the judgment was coming, and there were so many people that were voicing their opinion on it, was the celebration. You can be excited, but at what point do you take a step back and go, hey, you know what, like, we just scored our 9th, we just scored our 11th, like, you know, this is kind of getting old hat.
No, I know, and Rapinoe, when she celebrated, I think it was 9-0, and it was her 45th career international goal. So, you know, the typical phrase of act like you've been there before, you know, could be applied. And I have not spoken to any of the players, and I'd look forward to having the players on or having former players on. I'm wondering, I don't know if you've discussed this at all, but the you know, the Women's Federation in our country is suing for equal pay with the men. And the men's national team has been getting its ass handed to them. I mean, just totally butt kicked. And the women are the ones who are showing the way and how to do it. And in virtually, 99.9% of the cases outside of this celebration stuff, doing it the so-called right way. And doing it in a way that I've got a 5-year-old about to be 6-year-old daughter. I want her to be them. And all of this I don't know if this was playing into it, but the U.S. men's national team just lost to Venezuela 3-0. And here they come on the World Cup stage, some of them for the first time, many on the bench maybe for the first time, Carly Lloyd perhaps probably for the last time. I mean, so here they go, and they're not dialing it back for anybody. And I don't think they're going to turn down a celebration for anybody. And I'm wondering if that has something to do with it here, that there's maybe more to it than meets the eye. Maybe there's not. But, you know, we are talking about Women's World Cup soccer right now in a way that I would proper to say, certainly in your neck of the woods, with such a monster NBA game tomorrow night coming off of a classic on Monday night. I'm proper to say this is good for the sport, and maybe we could all either learn something from it or take something from it. I don't know, but I'm wondering if there's a little bit more than meets the eye, and if I do have a former player on. I mean, I've got a few invites out right now, or get a chance to interview one of the players. I will ask them point blank if something like this factors in the way they've been going about their business. And I mean, 13-0, and now here comes Chile, which is ranked lower in the FIFA rankings than Thailand. So we may have another instance of this conversation on Sunday. They might hit the extra point or the rouge,
right?
You know,
yes, the rouge.
I don't. You know what I mean? I'm trying to.
Very diplomatic right now.
I'm trying to communicate. You know, that's all I'm trying to do. So, you know, I don't know. We may see more of this over the weekend.
Rich, we'll have you on after the Chile game for your post-game analysis.
All right. We appreciate you coming on.
You know what? That's a date. We'll make it a regular thing. How Rich insults the Canadian.
Yes.
And you know, we'll find a sponsor, and we could figure out a way for me to insult the entire country every week.
We're just trying to keep everyone in check up here, Rich. That's our responsibility.
I understand that.
All right, we appreciate you doing this. Thank you for this, and right. I'm sure we'll do it again, and we'll talk about something different at some point.
Yeah, hey, look, I appreciate the platform. I heard you on DP's show the other day. It was a great spot.
Oh, thank you for that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it's good to be on with him.
Don't build him up now. Now
you, if you ever need me, you can just reach out, Rich.
No, in all honesty, because look, in this day and age, I have walked into many sports talk ambushes by calling in. I think it might have been your producer or I was direct messaging. I even said, hey, I hope this is not a sports talk ambush, because that's the way, you know, the stock and trade of so many in our business is that, you know, let me spend 3 hours trashing somebody, then invite them on to make it seem like I'm not afraid of the response. And then when the person says no, you trash them for being weak. Or when they come on, you trash them again for more content. And I don't know if I'm walking into situations like that, but I heard you on Dan's show the other day, and you sounded normal and reasonable. And that's, you know, honestly, that's part of the reason why I'm like, you know what? Hey, if I can talk to a fan base that is either outraged or upset or whatever, because like I said, life's too short. We're all doing this from either me, you, or, you know, your colleagues on TSN trying to be professional or saying something that is under a professional construct, and something is taken out of line. I'm more than happy to have a conversation about it, because that's just the way, you know, not enough people do it that way.
Normal and reasonable.
There.
I'll take it, man. It's a misrepresentation 90% of the time, but I'll certainly take it. Appreciate it. Thank you, Rich.
You got to take it easy.
There's Rich Eisen from the NFL Network and the Rich Eisen Show.
I love how I cue it all up, and he says, I heard you on the DP show.
Yeah, you're a big shot now.
I have had it.
I have not mentioned it.
We've got to put together a 30-second clip of all the love that Brian Hayes gets on this show.
I heard you.
You've got Dwayne
talk
Casey.
Talk back to the grappler. Now tell him about the DP show.
Yeah, that's what I said. But give him a heads up.
Now you've got, Dwayne Casey loving you.
Mm-hmm.
Rich Eisen loves you.
Who else?
DP loves you.
Who else is like your guy?
That's it.
That's probably about it.
No, there's a couple other.
There might be more. I mean, we can think about it, but I don't think the audience really cares. But
no,
listen, I appreciate Eisen coming on. Like as I said to him, as we've been saying throughout the afternoon, I think it's ridiculous to tie an opinion on a panel about the Women's World Cup to fans cheering Kevin Durant because we happen to all live in the same country.
Right.
And I think he came on and he heard the clip and he said, yeah, I mean, I was heated in the moment, which I can also understand. I mean, I'm not going to attack him for that, because as a radio guy myself, I mean, we all 15 hours
takes.
Of radio a day or a week, and there are going to be times where you say stuff, and then afterwards you might be like, nah. I might have pushed that a little bit.
Yeah, I've been a little bit rich on
that. And let's be honest, like Rich, when he's doing his show, he's catering to an American audience, mm-hmm. just as we're catering to a Canadian audience. So
yeah, but we got to stand up for our teammates too.
That's right. Kale and Kyle, shout out.
Yeah. That's right.
And anyone that's sending her death threats or anything like that.
Oh, that's asinine.
Yeah.
But like, you know what it is? It's the egg Twitter. It's not anybody that has the balls to, you know, get behind it and put their face in.
Right.
It's losers.
Yeah. She's got an opinion. She's entitled to that opinion. And yeah. I thought the panel did a great job.
I mean, I did too.
They're covering that game, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's the game we played on TSN, and it's a massive topic. Like, Eisen just pointed this out. We had Game 7 tonight and Game 6 tomorrow, and we're talking about the USA-Thailand Women's World Cup on the show.
Right.
And we spent a fair amount of time discussing it,
right.
Obviously because of Rich as well and his comments and the fact that he'd come on. But anyway.
That's what, like, they're paid to do. They're paid for their opinions.
Right.
And that was the glaring. They weren't going to break down all 13 goals and go, this is, you know, the goaltender's got to have this. What was the underlying story of that whole game?
Yeah,
was the celebration.
Exactly.
That was the number one storyline.
Yeah.
That's what you needed to talk about.
Thailand didn't show up. They got smoked 13-0.
And I still don't agree with the comment. It's like, you know, they're still excited. There's some first timers. When you're scoring your 10th goal in a soccer game,
I don't know.
The big celebration was the captain of the team.
Well, I know. The leg farts. The knee farts.
Yeah. The choreographed SNL goal celebration.
I know if I was anxious about something like World Juniors or something, 10th goal against
one of the worst teams in the...
Yeah.
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 No.
But like he even said, act like you've been there before. Like, on the ninth goal, you're like, hey, I think the game is secure.
I think we got this one.
But everyone's
but again, I'm not asking them to stop
and that's
scoring goals or playing hard. It's the Women's World Cup.
If they could have got to 15, they should have.
I think it's patronizing to take your foot off the gas.
Right.
Now, you might substitute players.
Right.
But
it's different. When the game is in hand, you see that sometimes in hockey where it's 6-0 with 2 minutes left, you get a power play. You don't put your first power play unit out.
Mm-hmm.
You give somebody else an opportunity on that. There's a layer of respect, and there's something with that. Now, that's a regular season hockey. This isn't – do you think Boston, if Game 7 tonight or St. Louis, they're up 4-1 with a minute left?
Well, I'm putting everyone out.
You're putting everyone out.
Absolutely.
You're trying to win.
And the opponent has no right to complain about it.
Like, that's – that's what they're dealing with.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem. The only thing I thought was a bit much was like on the ninth, like it's celebrating
dance. You can score and celebrate, but a choreographed running halfway up the pitch, sliding and doing
the knee fart
is a bit of a push.
I thought that
it
was
is.
A it's
push,
a
yeah.
bit of a push.
The knee fart. Watch this. Listen to this noise, son.
All right. Mr. Game 7 himself,
yeah,
Justin Williams will join us to get his take on what it's like to be walking into a building.
I'm actually more curious about the Achilles stuff.
Okay, we'll get into that first. Yeah. Like, what's Kevin Durant going through here? He will join us next. All right, Justin Williams will join us from the Carolina Hurricanes, captain of the Carolina Hurricanes. But this is a guy who's won multiple Stanley Cups. His numbers in Game 7s are...
best of all time.
Best of all time.
Yeah.
Literally, the best of all time.
Literally, he has put up the best statistics of all time. Better than Gretzky, better than Messier.
I think that's Hall of Fame worthy. Regardless of regular season stats, if you have the best Game 7 stats of all time,
I love him.
Yeah, it's right
there. Mr. Game 7.
It's
although,
a good
whenever
handle.
We have him on and we...
he doesn't like it. Like, he's uncomfortable with it.
I think he's uncomfortable with it.
With Game 7?
With being called Mr. Game 7.
Dude, I got to tell you, I was in a golf match with him a couple weeks ago, and every time he made a putt, I would just say, Game 7. Just the other guy finally looked at me and goes, shut up.
Well, you were probably being annoying.
Well,
no.
Probably.
Not at all.
You couldn't possibly be annoying on a golf course. Well, here he is, Mr. Game 7,
yeah.
Justin Williams himself. What's happening, Justin?
What's up, guys? Oh, Noodle.
What's up?
Is that true that O was bothering people when you guys were playing golf last week?
You know what? He was my teammate, so he wasn't bothering me. But he, that it did annoy me a little bit when he was hollering that after. Although we did win on 17.
Okay, so the picture he took on Twitter, were you, like, you looked like you were deep in the bush somewhere. Were you able to fight your way back off of that?
Can you believe, like, my own teammate would just throw that in there and then slide that right on Twitter just for a couple of likes? You know?
I did.
Like,
but you actually hit a good shot and you made par, so it all worked out.
Yeah, that did look like it took a turn for the worse off the tee.
You're across the path.
Oh yeah, you're on the other side of the path.
Oh yeah, you guys have never been there.
No,
huh?
You got to see these two.
All the time.
I would never.
Straight and narrow off the tee. I've never lost a golf ball in my career.
Hey Willie, before we get into the hockey stuff, the training camp where I was there, you blew your Achilles out, didn't you? Doing that shuttle run.
I did, yes.
What kind of timeline, like what happened after it happened? What were doctors' messages to you? How long you thought? Just take us through that actual injury. Obviously, Kevin Durant having it happen to him. What was it like for you when you went through that experience?
Yeah, that was, I think at the moment, you don't really know what happened. I was running that beep test, and for people who aren't familiar with it, it's, like a basketball shuttle run. You go to one end, you stop. Once you hear the beep, you go to the other end, you stop, and the beep's getting faster and faster, and the minute you can't keep up with the beeps is when you got to bow out. So running it and quite late in the test, and I planted, turned, and just heard like a pop, and I thought it was something in my shoe, perhaps, that blew, maybe an air bubble. I had no idea. And then just slowly walking a little bit, and you couldn't quite do anything anymore, and that's what happened to me. Initially, they wanted to hope for the best, saying, oh, he just popped a calf muscle. But there's obviously a lot more to it than that. And It was tough, especially just a day before training camp. But I guess to answer your question with regards to rehab and how long it took, it's just a totally different sport, basketball with hockey. When you're playing hockey, you can come back a little bit earlier because you're confined in that boot. Mm-hmm. You're not moving your Achilles up and down and up and down. The moment you're stable enough to do it, then you can. But as for basketball, I mean, you got to wait till everything's 100%, obviously, to come back. And I think I came back in a little over 3 months and played around maybe around Christmas time. And that was early and probably a little bit too early, to be quite honest with you. But it's really too bad what happened to Durant there in that situation. But the rehab ahead is different for basketball and football as it is for hockey.
Well, psychologically, when you suffer such a significant injury, I would have to believe that really plays with your mind. You know, will you ever be the same player? Will you be able to skate the same way you did prior to blowing it out? Take us back to where your headspace was at after you tore your Achilles.
Well, I think, again, going back to that same point, that it's different. You know, people kept telling you, you don't play basketball. You don't play football. You're not a high jumper. I never had mad ups, but I have even less mad ups now.
Right.
that I have this Achilles. And it's always in the back of my mind. You know, I don't run up hills super fast. I kind of go up slowly sideways like an old man. There's things that are in the back of your head. I mean, my Achilles is fine, but it's always just in the back of your head. And I think for people who have that injury or are recovering from it, it's always going to be in the back of your mind. Yes, you can come back, but let's be honest, no one ever is coming back the same exact player or, 99% of that player. You're a little bit tainted and you're a little bit worn, and it's certainly in the back of your head quite often.
With Justin Williams, game 7 tonight in Boston, you obviously have played very well throughout your history in game 7s, but I always find it somewhat comical when you hear players, you know, day of, they're always like, oh, we're going to treat it like any other game.
Yeah.
That's not possible, right? Like, there's no way you can actually treat it like any other game.
Yeah, you're playing a winner-take-all for the Stanley Cup, game 7 in one game. You can't approach that as a regular game. I mean, let's be honest. Get real, dude. Doesn't O say that all the time? Get real, dude. this is what you play for. This is the street hockey stuff. When you're saying Game 7 of the Cup Finals, here we go. I mean, it's an awesome atmosphere. It's going to be, and what an opportunity for someone to really make a name for themselves and etch themselves in history. To be quite honest.
Sorry, go ahead.
When you were playing in Game 7 against Edmonton, does anybody even have to say anything? I mean, there can't be a pregame speech. What the hell is anybody going to say?
Yeah, I mean, there's times you say stuff, and then there's times that you just let it play out, and you let everyone soak in the opportunity and what's ahead of you. I mean, someone might say something, but I don't think really anything needs to be said at that point. This far in playoffs, you're beat. You're tired, you're worn, but during this game and you're just going to be running on adrenaline and knowing that win or lose, this is it. And that'll be the game, and that'll be your last game of the year.
Do you remember at all, like, do you sleep that afternoon? I know, you know, getting deep in the playoffs and talking to guys, like, they get in such a routine, but knowing what's at stake, is it tough to lay down? Is your mind racing, or do you get into a routine where you just try to treat it like a game day ritual?
Yeah, I mean, you do try and treat it like a game day ritual, and you can maybe tell yourself that too, like, all right, this is any other game. But especially, I think one of the most toughest parts is there's been a lot of time in between games for these guys. I mean, these four guys are going two full days in between playing, I think maybe game 5 and game 6 and then game 6 and game 7. I mean, that is a lot of time to think about what's at stake. And you just want to play. You just want to get out there and play and get in the moment and stop thinking about it, because the anticipation for the event is quite honest, more nerve-wracking than the game itself when you're playing it.
I always hear coaches and management types say that they felt there's an obligation for them to look as if they're totally comfortable and that it's any other day, because if they come off as nervous, then the players are going to pick up on that. Is there truth in that? Do you kind of determine your own energy based on what everyone around you is putting forth?
I'm quite honest at times. I think, you know, one of the things that coaches obviously have learned, and the good ones really know, is that the players will take on a persona of the coach. If you're nervous, uptight, and worried, that rubs off too. It's kind of like an infant when they look at you, and they kind of just know if you're upset or apprehensive or anything like that. So I think it's important for a coach to certainly keep an even keel. And I mean, these two coaches have gotten themselves into great situations, and they know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah, I'd be a mess if I was like behind a bench.
Like, fourth line, start the game.
Yeah, you just turn into
it's
a disaster.
What you feel like. Yeah, it's fine what you feel like. Just don't
be
project
stupid.
That into everyone else.
You come in, you're just sweating through your shirt before the game. Just giving off a terrible vibe.
Yeah.
In terms of, thinking positively or thinking negatively, Did you ever force yourself into envisioning, you know, winning the cup, or would you get to some dark places during the day where you're like, what if I don't have it tonight? What if we don't get puck luck tonight? You know, take us back to game day and in terms of your mental space, thinking either positively or negatively.
Yeah, I think human nature will throw you into those situations, right? It'll naturally say, all right, what if I'm this? What if this happens? What if that happens? And the moment you have something creep into your mind that's a negative, well, what if I turn the puck over and that's the game-winning goal? What if I do this? What if I lose my man and he goes in on a breakaway? Those are things you just need to slap yourself. You need to think positive, good vibes. See yourself raising that cup over your head. See yourself scoring a goal, making a play, getting a puck out. I mean, anything is important. And that's just the way you gotta do it. Get those negative thoughts out. They'll be around. Don't act like they won't be around, but get them the heck out of there.
So what's your plan tonight? Are you watching the game? Are you invested in the game? How are you going to approach it?
You know what? I'll be tuned in. Yeah. I mean, my son's a big hockey fan. He's going to be watching too. So we'll probably watch together, but for me, it'll be a little bit of closure too, that it's over with, and you know, if I think about it, people are talking about it. Oh, what if you guys were there? You can just leave it just at that. And, I've always said people are asking me, who are you cheering for? I'm like, I hope the Stanley Cup gets lost and nobody gets to win. That's who I'm cheering for.
That would be pretty incredible.
Yeah.
someone's going to win and someone's going to earn it and someone's going to be just heartbroken at the end of it. But that's why we play sports. It's fun, and this is the epitome of our game right now, game seven, for all the marbles to win the Stanley Cup.
What was the party like after you won?
Yeah, they're great. They're great. I mean, to be honest, when things are over, you just take a deep breath and say, this is it. It's over. And you get that sense of relief that, that's it. There's no more games for a little while. And the parties are great. Listen, the team that loses tonight is going to hang their heads. But it's been a terrific, terrific Stanley Cup Finals. And the team that wins it is certainly going to earn it tonight. And it's actually going to be real fun to watch, so I'll be tuned in.
Well, enjoy it tonight. We really appreciate the insight, both on the injury and Game 7s. And we always love having you on. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys, as usual.
Thanks, Willie. Justin Williams, one of the best.
Yep.
Always an outstanding interview.
Fantastic.
And, you know, like you said, it's different sport, hockey to basketball, but interesting where he's like, you know, you're never going to be the same.
Yeah.
Like after that type of an injury, you're never going. It doesn't mean you can't still be very, like, yeah. Justin Williams still went on to have an unbelievable career. Kevin Durant will still be an impact player. Will he be the best player in the world ever again? I don't know.
Especially with that body type. You saw how small his calves are and, like, what was the support system around
his legs. So skinny. His legs are so skinny.
I think he wore kind of not a full high-top shoe, too. It's kind of like a three-quarter cut. Who knows? It's going to be a different... It'll be a different ball game for him.
It'll be an adjustment for him coming back. That's for sure.
Big time.
But special, as you said, like special players just find ways to do it. Like ways around it.
He sat out a year for a concussion.
Just ways around it.
First game back, best player on the ice.
Yeah. But this is a structural one. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, that concussion isn't structural, but it's different. Like they're, like this is, like Willie was saying, he even runs up a hill differently because it's in the back of his mind.
Yeah,
Durant's got to run up and down the court.
Right. Well, exactly. Yeah. You got to go out there and play. You got to cross people up.
And you can't have it in your mind.
Well, so. And you know it's going to happen. It's human nature. The first time he returns to the court, he's going to have, you know, the ball in the same position. He's going to be thinking, I got to cross this guy up and take it to the paint. And
Achilles
going
to
blow out again.
Everything will be a first for him until he can get through it. So, I mean, it's going to take him a while to get back anyway.
Absolutely. So. All right, Jerry's After Dark. Best Bets brought to you by ProLine. Game 7 tonight predictions. We got a lot on the docket here.
It's been a hell of a show.
Outstanding afternoon.
Yes.
And the grappler has been on his game.
Yeah. I mean, he went from zero to hero.
Yeah.
Real quick. Real quick turnaround for the grappler. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, we absolutely do. We know exactly what you're talking about, Jerry. Horny for one more hot take.
Really, really horny.
The best player at the Oracle on Thursday is not Klay Thompson or Steph Curry. It's Kawhi Leonard.
Ooh, I like it a lot.
And I'm going to say 80%. I think he's going to be a man on a mission.
I totally agree. He didn't have a great game in Game 5. Dude, based on
his standards.
Passed
it to a guy on the bench.
Yeah.
One of the best players in the world passed it to a guy on the bench.
That was a really weird play. Like he kind of drove into the middle of the paint and then just threw it to the bench. Like he obviously thought he saw a Raptor player there.
The dude was standing up. He had a white shirt on. It was like, okay.
It was a little bit confusing, but.
Shouldn't have been that confusing.
No, but I think Kawhi steps way up tomorrow night, and I'll say 81%.
66%. You know why? Because he's one of three.
Yeah. Steph, Clay, both of them shot the lights out. They both played great.
And I think it's his turn.
I feel good about the Raptors tomorrow night. It doesn't feel it's not a normal sensation in Toronto to feel good.
Right.
Or overly optimistic just based on, you know, the history of the teams here. But they've been the better team. Well, they've been the better team. Golden State, they survived. Credit to them. But they won by 1 point. And the Raptors kind of handed it to them with 3 minutes to go when they were up six.
Yeah. That would be the only game in that series where I thought Golden State kind of...
They controlled the game.
That's the only one.
They did control the game. They were the better team, I think, overall.
And with John Wick there, that was a different situation. If Durant played that whole game, I don't know if that was a close game. He looked pretty locked in early. He looked like he was going to get 40.
Yeah.
That's why I kept thinking this guy is gross.
Well, there's been a lot of, hindsight is 2020 talk about, load management with Kevin Durant. Because he played, I think, 78 games or something this year.
Yeah.
You know, what do you really need to play that much for? I appreciate the guys want to play.
He's going to play the next time he comes back.
Oh, his load management when he returns in a couple of years. If he misses all of the next season... The following year, I'd be shocked if he plays more than four.
If he has the luxury of being on a team that's talented enough to afford load management.
Which is a significant development, because if you go to the Knicks, they're going to be like, dude, we just paid you $40 million to not play, and we're brutal. We need you playing 82 games.
Yeah, your load management is carrying your paycheck to the front door. That's your load management.
But that could be a part of the negotiation. Hey, I'm willing to come, but you got to understand, I'm playing 55 games my first year back.
Yeah, so you better get a supporting staff that's good enough so we can get to the playoffs with me playing 55.
Man, incredible leverage. Imagine having a ruptured Achilles and then demanding a max contract plus load management. That's how good Durant is. That's how big of a disaster the New York Knicks are.
I'm telling you, I would be better 4 days a week. Monday to Thursday, and I swear.
I don't disagree with you, man. I think everyone would. I'm like a big supporter of a four-day work week. Huge.
Why don't we look into it coming down the stretch and play? Like just
what
play?
About a four-hour show daily, Monday through Thursday?
Sign me up.
You would go three to seven or four to eight?
No, I'll do a five-hour show Monday to Thursday, Fridays off.
Not a chance.
That is a significant development.
Could you imagine him on a five hours?
No. There isn't enough five-hour energy drink in the world for this guy to get through a five-hour show.
But four, I'll do it. Can we look into that? A four-hour show Monday to Thursday. Would you do it?
I would do it, but I would be concerned that him and I would have to talk an extra hour because he would be
it would just be an extra hour baby monkey routine.
Like I will say this. I'll do Monday to Thursday a four-hour show, but you're doing a pre-tape every day.
Well, you would be running sound from like
every
hour
sound.
Two.
Somebody speaks with a microphone and a TSN mic, you're playing it.
Yes.
I'll be the producer slash grappler. And on the show for 4 hours.
You're going to take the grappler's gig?
No, I'll be a co-producer. I'll be a co-producer. Because I'm going to get all the sound and play all the interviews.
All right. It's not going to happen anyway. So, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Over in the Blue Jay game tonight.
Because of the pitching?
Well, Edwin Jackson isn't starting. It sounds like he might get in at some point. But still, David Hess, over the number. I'm on Houston and Atlanta tonight. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. ProLine, get way into the game. Game 7, who you got tonight? Bruins, Blues.
Bruins, big time. Big guns show up. Rask and Net.
Hey, I'm on the Bruins, but I think it'll be a good game tonight.
I can't predict, but probably Boston.
Take a guess what time we're going to talk about who wins tomorrow.
4 p.m.
And we're going to chat then.